Are game developers wanting fair wages and normal work hours bad for the industry? One former CEO thinks so. Plus, a console you didn't realize was still in production is now out of production. Tonight is April 24th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
So I think flubbing the intro with the year is my version of putting the old date on checks, because nobody writes dates, writes checks anymore. And remember, like, okay, so back in the day, let me explain this. We used to write, actually, if we wanted to give money to somebody, we either handed them cash or we wrote them a check, and we actually had to use a pen and write, like, the date of the check. And it would always be a thing where for, like, the first however many months of the next year, you would still write the old year. We don't do that anymore, but I still have to write checks every once in a while. I still have some checks left. I know Sky says. Anyway, hello! That was a long tangent to start the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, over at VogNetwork.com, we're reminiscing about checks. You can join us over at live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you are logged in, you can check into the site just like Tiger Claw and William Murderface. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank them. Thank you, all of you, for listening and being a part of it and participating at vognetwork.com. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can participate as well. Just go listen for the passphrase somewhere in the episode, and it will be there's an area on the site you can write down that put in that passphrase, get the exact same amount of credit, and we love you just as much. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me here in the comment section of the episodes at vognetwork.com if I would get them up in any kind of reasonable time. I am really sorry about that. It didn't go up until today, the last episode. But the good news is they're actually, well, good news slash bad news. There is going to be no live episode next week on the 1st of May. I have a work commitment that I can't get out of, and I can't leave on Monday, so I have to leave on Sunday. So I will not be here. I will not be doing the show, so you'll be able to get all caught up, because this show will probably go up at the very end of the week, and then you'll be all caught up. It'll be great. So we will be back the following week, even though it is Mother's Day. I will spend the day with my mother, and I will spend my evening with all of you. And reminder, it's Mother's Day. Just in case you forgot, you may not want to forget that it's Mother's Day. One last thing about the podcast is that Google Play Music just launched podcasts, and I wasn't there day one. I was there day three. So you can now get the show on Google Play Music if you are migrating over to that from Stitcher or any other, or iTunes or any other podcatcher that you use. The show is now available there over at Google Play Music. So go ahead and search it out. Search out the other VOG shows and all that fun stuff. The first thing I want to talk about is we're going to talk just a tiny bit about VR, because Rageinator had actually asked me on Steam in a comment if I was going to talk about something that I had purchased, because Steam tells everybody when you spend money. So everybody gets really nosy and wants to know all about it. It's not a dig at you, Rageinator. It's just the way Steam is. I'm not going to talk too much about VR. Last week was all VR, all about the HTC Vive room scale virtual reality. But I did get the Blue, BLU, which is from WeVR, which basically does these travel type things. So it's a little travel documentary. And he wanted to know how it was. So essentially what that is, it's an experience that I could have gotten last week, but I didn't, because I wanted to get more Steam bucks in my wallet, and then I got that and got the Blue. So this is, if you see the trailers, this is the one where the big whale comes. You're like on a shipwreck at the bottom of the ocean, and a big whale shows up. That's what this is. And it is a demo to showcase what you can see in virtual reality. In terms of, there's three little tiny mini movies there, and they're about 3 to 5 minutes each, where you're just underwater in different locales and different fish are coming around. And one of them, actually, you're at the bottom of the ocean, so you don't have any light. So all the light is coming from the other fishes, or you have a flashlight and you can shine it around. So yeah, so that's what I had picked up. That was another VR experience. It's great to show people because they're also short enough. So it's a good demo, especially like in a crowded area. So that's probably one of the ones, if you do see like an HTC Vive in a demo, in a meetup somewhere, that's probably one of the things you'll see, because it's really easy to get people in and out. And then they have like meditation modes where it keeps going, and other modes the more times you go look through it. But it's just three little short experiences of fishies. Because technology companies love using fish and aquariums to showcase their technology. Like, if you go to CES, like, especially like when high-def TVs were brand new and they were trying to sell us on them, when we were all still using CRTs and 480 and 4x3, they were all aquariums. And then, like, 4K TVs came around, and it's all aquariums. That's all they show, is aquariums and fish floating in an aquarium. So, yeah, and you'd think that there would be some, like, scary stuff, but it's not really scary. I mean, some of the fish get close to you, but, like, if you get too close to them, they'll scatter away and stuff. And there's jellyfish, and I'm like, I want to touch it because I know it's virtual, but jellyfish are poisonous, and I don't want to touch it. So that's it. That's all I'm going to talk about the VR, unless somebody calls in about it. But that's it. So we're going to go back to actual, like, regular gaming news. We're going to return to your regularly scheduled podcast. So you can turn back up the stream now if you didn't want to hear about the VR stuff. So the big thing I did want to talk about was an article that actually had been posted last week, and I even alluded to it last week on the show. And I wanted to kind of talk about this because this is, frankly, this attitude is actually why I do a podcast about video games and not actually work in video games. The other reason I don't work in video games is because every time I've tried to get hired at a company, they didn't hire me. Which, it's kind of hard to work in the video game industry when nobody wants to hire you. Or they do want to hire you, but they can't at that time, which is usually what happened with me. So this is Alex St. John is the person, and he posted up an editorial on VentureBeat. Now, most people today probably haven't heard of him, but he was one of the pioneers of the DirectX framework back at Microsoft back in the 90s. And then he was the CEO of Wild Tangent, is where he went after Microsoft. So I don't think he's the CEO of anything anymore. But he's a pretty prominent figure in game development and game coding, especially in the early days, because DirectX was the savior of Windows gaming back in the day. Whatever you think of it now, and whatever you think of it in general compared to OpenGL or something else that's out there, DirectX really was a benchmark for getting games working on computers easily, because before DirectX, you basically had to specifically code for every type of video card or every type of sound card, like in the DOS days and stuff like that. And if you didn't code to it, then it wouldn't work as well. Well, DirectX did all that work for you, and you just used DirectX, and it automatically worked with all the video card hardware and all the sound card hardware, because DirectX did all that specific stuff for each card for you. That's kind of the point of it. And that didn't really exist early on. Like, DirectX and OpenGL kind of came on the scene at the same time, but it didn't exist until then. And so that actually freed up game developers to work more about the game rather than trying to support every single hardware configuration. Same reason, like, Android developers have to have like 8 million different handsets to test on, because even though there's kind of a framework that works with all of them, not all of them have the same capabilities. And DirectX tried to take that a little bit out of the developers' hands. A little bit. AdventureBeat, Alex St. John penned an article, and it was titled "Game Developers Must Avoid the Wage Slave Attitude," which sounds like, oh, well, yeah, they don't want to be slaves, right? That wouldn't be good. But it turns out what he's actually complaining about is that game developers think that they should be getting fair wages and work a 40-hour work week. And he thinks that's wrong. And he thinks that they're just trying to become victims. They're trying to play a victim card. They're entitled. Game developers feel that they're entitled to being paid fairly and being able to work normal hours and have a family. And he thinks that this is the entitlement generation. Basically, I'm summarizing the article because I've got it in front of me, but I don't want to read it to you. But I'm kind of skimming it, and I'll pull out relevant quotes because it's been a while since I've read this and got angry at it. But basically, he says, hey, I've met a lot of people that have made a lot of money, and they weren't necessarily the smartest. They were the ones who worked the hardest, and they worked the longest, and they worked the most. So if you want to be a game developer, then you need to embrace working hard and working most. Working the most and everything. And if you, and I think he even closes out with the phrase, this is a quote, don't be in the game industry if you can't love all 80 hours a week of it. You're taking a job from somebody who would really value it, unquote. And that's actually something that they tell you all the time when you're applying for jobs in the video game industry, is they don't have to pay you well, because so many people want to be game developers that they're willing to take the pay cut, or they're willing to take less money for the idea, for the privilege of making video games. So he's basically saying, if you want, and he even says somewhere in here in this wall of text I've got, he says somewhere, if you want to be paid fairly and work only 8 hours a day, then you need to make other kinds of software, not video games. If you want to have any kind of life, you need to make regular financial software, banking software, stuff like that. That's what you need to make if you want to get paid fairly. If you want to make video games, you need to realize that you should treat yourself like crap, and you should live to work. And that's a thing that got me a lot in the past, is that either you work to live or you live to work. And I was actually at a job 15 years ago, my first job out of college, where it was filled with people who lived to work. And they were, and this job even turned into 100% travel. So I was never home at the very end. That's actually why I quit, because I was initially less than 25% travel, and then over time, my role got changed to a 100% travel gig where I was flying to the same place every week. So I would fly up to Milford, Connecticut on Monday, fly home Friday, fly back up Monday, back to Milford and back for like 6 months. It was terrible. I was not able to have a life, but I was with people, and I was subcontracting through a major multinational corporation that has been around for quite a long time, and they even have an anthem. So maybe you figured it out, but I'm not going to name it directly. But I was subcontracting through them, and they had people that all they would talk about was AARP, and about how they're about to get there, and about how when they retire, they look forward to experiencing the world. They look forward to traveling. They look forward to spending time with their family once they retire. But until they retire, they're going to spend 12, 16 hours a day on this client site far away from home and talk about how great AARP is and about how they're going to retire soon. And I'm sitting there listening to them and saying, I could be experiencing all that stuff right now when I'm young, if only I wasn't stuck thousands of miles from home every day. And that was kind of the attitude that was there. And so I got really – that's when I said I work to live. I don't live to work. And so that's why I left that job ultimately. And so what Alex St. John is kind of saying in his letter is that you need to, you know, he's basically saying if you want to get paid fairly, make games in your free time. Don't make games on somebody's dime, because then you're going to be expected to spend all that time. If you want to have a family, you're going to be in the wrong job. You should not have a family and work in the game industry, which is bullcrap. That is complete and utter bullcrap. You know, and he's saying, well, look, you know, there are these amateur kids that made a game in their mom's basement. And you know, they were this one kid, and they made the game, and now they're millionaires and stuff. And not everybody is that. That's the exception. So it turns out also that it was not in this article, but there was a PowerPoint presentation that people found about how to hire in the game industry, how to get hiring people, and keys to success. And I skimmed through this, and it was one of those things where he basically assumes that everybody is a white male. which I'm going to be perfectly honest, I am also a white male. So I understand, and you know, sometimes that may color what I say, so I'm going to say that up front. But he assumes that everybody's a white male. And so he says that you need to win over the wives and the girlfriends, because the wives and the girlfriends are really, you know, if they're not happy, then you're going to lose the employee. Because you're going to take their husband or boyfriend away from them. And so they need to be okay with this. And so you really need to court them. And then he also talks about minorities in there and talks about how, you know, they have an entitlement complex and they like to play the victim card and all this stuff. I don't have that in front of me, but it was just, it was really, really bad, like what he was saying. And he's like, this is how you hire for success. If you want your company to be successful, you need to make sure that, and he actually puts in the slides, you don't want somebody that wants to go home at the end of the day. You want somebody who's going to work and work hard for you the entire time without breaks. And what's kind of funny is that, I think Raginator brought up quite a while ago, Alex St. John actually did this himself when he was at Microsoft working on DirectX, and it wrecked him mentally. Like, he overworked himself to the point of burnout. And, you know, it was like he's saying, yes, it destroyed me, but it made a great product, so you should destroy other people. And he's right. There are other people that are willing to come in and take the other video game jobs, and then they're going to burn out. And, you know, it's going to be damaging to them. And so, but they're going to be replaced by somebody else who's then going to be burned out and damaged. And that's a vicious cycle. And I hate that cycle. And I don't want a hobby that I love being done, you know, being the people that make the things that I enjoy. I don't want to see them taken advantage of that way. I understand that they're getting paid to make video games, but it ain't all roses. There are really bad times while you're making video games. And he even says a couple times, all you're doing is pushing a mouse. All you're doing is pushing a mouse, right? And as somebody who's been a programmer for 16 years, A, there's also a lot of typing, but I get what he's saying. But it is mentally draining, because when you are a programmer, and especially if you're doing a programming in a creative environment like a video game, but I mean, everything's creative, even banking and financial software, it's also creative. You get mentally exhausted. You get mentally drained. And you just want to veg out and watch bad TV after spending hours and hours at your computer pushing a mouse, because it's mentally exhausting. So, you know, he's like, but there's all these other, you know, people that actually do physically strenuous things. They deserve to, you know, have a break. But all you're doing is pushing a mouse. You've got to, you know, thankfully, the majority of the industry disagree with this guy. So that's the good thing. I'm sure that there are some I'd like to believe that. There's also another part of me that's probably saying, man, you know, there's a lot of hiring managers and a lot of CEOs that behind the scenes are saying, finally, somebody is telling the truth. Somebody's telling it like it is. Looking at chat, live.vognetwork.com, and a lot of people are actually talking about the response. He actually has a daughter. Alex St. John has a daughter. And I didn't put the text of her response in here. But she has a daughter who is actually a software developer herself. And she works on Drupal, which is a content management system, since she's a front-end engineer, I believe, there. And she, like, completely rips him apart, because he actually kind of believes that, you know, white males advance in this industry because they're the go-getters, and that's why. And that everybody who's not a white male, they claim they're being held down, but really it's just because they're not going out and getting it, and they're not as which is bullshit. Okay, that's what it is. And she came out and said he's actually holding us women back by just saying that every time you know we claim that we're being held back, we're just playing the victim card. No, there's actually stuff that's happening. That is holding them back. People don't take them as seriously. It's easy. It's so easy for people like me to say, no, there's nothing going on, because I don't see it as much. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a perfect human being. I don't see all the stuff that's holding people back, but it's there. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. it is happening, and sometimes even I have to be reminded of it. And I try to be more up on, you know, all this and more able to see this kind of stuff. But, you know, we have a long way to go. And stuff like this isn't helping. And if you work in the game industry, I tip my hat to you. And I hope that you work at a company that does not follow this attitude and that gives you a fair and respectable wage, that gives you, doesn't overload you with hours, because you can absolutely make great software without a long, long time of crunch. Crunch time, which basically crunch time is anytime you're working overtime to get a product out. Crunch time is beneficial in extremely short bursts. And I'm talking like 1 to 2 weeks. I have done crunch time in 1 to 2 week sprints. And it was totally worth it. It was actually kind of fun. I wouldn't want to do it for longer than that. But every once in a while, and like I wind up having to do it maybe twice a year, maybe, I'm totally fine with it. And that is a normal part of the industry. And it is something that absolutely you should be prepared for if you get into any kind of software development. But people in video game development and sometimes the managers say, no, no, you have to crunch for 6 months straight. Oh, I'm sorry, you want to spend time with your family? Oh, that's too bad. You know, there's a college kid that would love to have your job. You really want to go spend time with your family? I hope that your company is not one of those. If it is, I wish I knew what to tell you. I wish I knew how to fix this. Because unfortunately, if this is more indicative, if Alex St. John is more indicative of how the top thinks about, you know, wage, you know, what wages you should be paid, what hours you should work, what gender you should be, what race you should be. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't want to say the U word because that gets people all riled up on both sides. And I don't know if that's the answer or not. I've never had to join one of those for programming, and you shouldn't have to join one of those. And it's really just in the video game industry is where I see this. And it's not like that anywhere else. And that's why I don't work in the video game industry. Other than the fact that no video game company actually wants to hire me. Or if they do want to hire me, they couldn't at that time. Or at this point now, they can't afford me because I make too much money now and they don't want to pay people that much because there's a college kid that could do it just fine. But see, here's the thing. To be a game programmer, you have to be really bright. And you have to be like one of the best in your field to be able to do a lot of the stuff that game programmers have to do. I'm speaking primarily on the game programmer side. I know there's artists and musicians and designers and stuff like that. I have experience in the programming side, which is that's why where I'm coming from. And his daughter is a programmer, but not in the video game industry. I wonder why. So, you know, these are the brightest. And you know what? Here's the thing. The other industries that are out there that do computer programming, your financial, your banking, your sales industries, stuff like that, they probably would love to get somebody who got burned out from the video game industry because they have a lot more hardened knowledge. They are able to do a lot. They have a lot more experience in creatively solving a problem than somebody who just took a computer science course in college and got a degree and said, I'm going to make a lot of money writing software. Because they have to be able to, they have to hone their skills in a completely different way. And that actually works better in other industries. So I bet other industries are like, yeah, bring it on. You know, burn out all your guys so we can hire them and actually pay them a good wage. And, you know, they'll be nice to us, you know, and they'll be so happy that I'm glad that he wrote this article. You want to know why? Because the backlash has been amazing. And I hope that that allows something to change. And I hope that this mentality goes away. I hope more people like Alex St. John decide to leave their positions or sell their companies or whatever. I can't wait for this type of attitude to go away. Because just because you make video games doesn't mean you should expect to be paid less fair and work more hours and stuff. Because, you know, yes, it's fun, but it's still a job. And even the most fun job is still a job. And even the most fun job can anger you and stress you out and wear you out. And there's nothing wrong with paying someone fairly, especially considering that the ESA loves to throw out numbers. Oh, yeah, this is a multi-billion dollar industry and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. Pay the people who make it. You don't have to pay them over the top. Just pay them fairly. And Sky does say, let's not forget Wild Tangent, which he was the CEO of, was and is kind of garbage, too. Like, it was total spamware on your computer. Dungeon Buster says, look at so-and-so leaving early again. Yeah, but he worked 70 hours already. Oh, you don't see me leaving early. So there is some type of peer pressure, especially from the younger people. Like, a lot of times, younger people that are just out of college, they don't have a family yet, so they're willing to spend more hours in the workplace. And they may not understand somebody who maybe has a family and kids and stuff and needs to go home. They actually will kind of pressure them. Hey, you know, you're really not pulling your weight around here. You're going home at 7 o'clock. You know, I'm going to be here till 10. Why are you going home? Like, where's your drive? And that's a problem, too. And it's not just from management. Sometimes it's from younger coworkers. Breakman says, this guy sounds like one of the biggest jerks ever. I'm surprised he's not running for president. Maybe this was him throwing his hat in the ring. Fifth Dream says, I just made a game in my head. It's where I kick this guy in the ass. Wow, I'm a millionaire. SJ100Matt says, in the movie industry, productions and studios use unpaid interns and production assistants because they're hungrier and willing to work for free just to get their foot in the door for the possibility of maybe getting paid down the road. In reality, studios can just keep using unpaid interns and PAs and never have to pay for staff. And William Murderface also says that's really a big problem. And I've done that. You know, I've actually done, I used to volunteer and do stuff. I would do that. And you know, I was always been told, oh, yeah, you know, when we get big, we'll start paying. And we can start paying you for all this hard work. And I spent years and years trying to build up something, you know, build up a brand. And I never would get paid. And the money never came. And, you know, eventually I started getting being written out of the money because they're like, well, what have you done for me lately? Because I kind of stopped working as hard. And they were like, well, what have you done for me lately? So if we do get money, you ain't getting it because what are you doing? And I'm like, I spent years of my life on this. SJ100Matt says you can't pay bills with promises. That's right. And, I mean, you can find a lot of people that talk about, oh, well, you know, I don't have that much money, so I pirate all my games. And I'm not going to turn this into a pirating discussion. But I will say that I have met pirates out there that say, you made a video game. Why should I give you my hard-earned money? You didn't earn it. You just made a video game. Shouldn't my enjoyment be enough? And you know what? Unfortunately, your enjoyment doesn't put food on my table. I don't want to turn this into a piracy discussion or anything like that, but I have heard that argument from some people. And yes, I do this podcast for free, and I don't want you to pay me for it, so don't feel bad. This podcast does not put food on my table either, so I'm cool with that. I go into it knowing that. But if somebody wants to be able to put food on their table, and they want to make games, and they're good at making games, they absolutely should be able to do that. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then I'll talk a little bit about the other story while we wait for calls and stuff. In case I don't, Xbox 360, you didn't think it was in production anymore? It was until this week, and now it's no longer in production. And there's some other details about what's going to happen for current Xbox 360 owners, i.e. not much. So that was the other story. I talked a little bit long on that, but we may actually get some calls about it. I don't know. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be back to take your calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Ravenator, and I'm not jamming to the greatest song in the world, Crazy Chocobo. I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on the Vog Network.
Favorite song in the world right there. Yeah, that's what you miss on the music break. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to reference any music breaks or anything like that. All you have to do is send a bumper to me. You can send just your voice in an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can call the toll-free number and leave it that way in a voicemail. So the last story here before I take calls is that the Xbox 360, Microsoft announced that it's actually going to be ending its production run after 10 years. They've basically said that manufacturing a product for over a decade old is starting to creep up on us, the realities of it, which is why they've made the decision to stop manufacturing new consoles. They'll continue to sell existing inventory of consoles, so they're still going to be on store shelves, with availability varying by country. Now, Many gamers on Xbox 360, they say, are still active. So while the overall Xbox gaming experience will evolve and grow, we will continue to support the platform of the 360. So Microsoft says that Xbox 360 owners will continue to receive Xbox Live services for their console, such as online multiplayer gaming and parties, access to the apps they use today, and games with golds and deal with gold, except a lot of the apps are going away. I know the ESPN app has been discontinued on the Xbox 360, which sucks because I moved my Xbox 360 into my office because I don't have a cable box down here anymore. And I was like, great, when college football season starts up, I can watch ESPN on my Xbox 360. Not anymore. Nope. Xbox Live servers that support Xbox 360 services will also remain online and active. Our 360 fans can continue to play their favorite games with the full support of Xbox Live. Gamers will also be able to continue to buy over 4,000 Xbox 360 games or accessories at retail and through our Xbox 360 store online while supplies last. Any 360 hardware will still be supported at Xbox.com support, and Xbox One owners will still be able to continue to enjoy available Xbox 360 games through backwards compatibility at no extra cost. So that is Kaijudo's dream has unfortunately been dashed. Because he was talking about how he really hoped that this also meant that they were going to take Xbox 360s offline. A, probably because he hates Microsoft and he hates the gamers that play on Microsoft consoles. So giving them a less, turning off their online would be happy. But also he mentioned that he really wants to mod his Xbox without getting banned from Xbox Live. Which I say, if you want to do that, just unplug the Ethernet cable from your console. And you're no longer on Xbox Live. Like, nothing's stopping you from doing that now. But apparently, I guess Xbox Live has to go completely offline for 360 owners for that to happen. But if the original Xbox is any kind of benchmark, I think it stuck around on the original Xbox for about 5 years after they stopped producing the original Xbox, before they shut off its on Xbox Live. So we'll see you in 2022. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase WIND. So I'm going to open up the phone lines. The phone lines are open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. We already have a call here on the line, so we're going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're
hey,
on here. What's up?
Two quick questions. Now that we're kind of sort of seeing the beginnings of the end for the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite memories with the system or favorite games?
Well, I mean, the Xbox 360, the thing about it was that it really brought it brought the social online gaming to the masses. The original Xbox had that a little bit, but, being able to bring the smaller games, Xbox Live Arcade was a huge thing for me in the beginning, and not everybody thought it was a huge thing in the beginning, and it turned out to be huge. With Geometry Wars being one of the first ones that I remember, and then, everybody going crazy 6 months later when they finally released another Xbox Live Arcade game, and it was Uno. And we all got, excited about Uno. That was kind of what I remember is, the introduction of achievements and the introduction of social gaming, having a friends list like this. Other places had that, but it wasn't as centralized, and I think that the Xbox 360 really propelled that forward. And I know the Xbox One had friends list as well, but it wasn't as deeply ingrained, because the original Xbox Live was an afterthought. It was tacked on afterwards. Whereas this, the Xbox 360 really made it a central part of the console and really drove the industry. So that's my big takeaway from it. So what was yours? Did you ever have an Xbox 360?
Briefly. Unfortunately, I did have to sell it because of reasons. Granted, my library on the 360 wasn't overly extensive, but I did love some of the exclusive games, be it Gears of War, Halo 3. Granted, I wasn't all that great at them, but I did enjoy them nonetheless. And plus, some of the features that were on Xbox Live that really weren't present on PSA, like cross-game chat,
Yeah.
If you were playing, Forza 4, mm-hmm. I could be talking to you while playing Magic 2012.
Right.
Yeah. But, I really liked the system. Granted, it was a secondary system for me, but it was pretty nice. Now, for my second question, one thing that I noticed is that at least on the Steam's store page, they tend to really push the HTC Vive pretty heavily. Now, do you necessarily have to use the HTC Vive over, let's say, the Oculus Rift, to play like some of the Steam games that support VR, or can you really use either or?
Well, not yet. So on the VR pages on Steam, they will actually tell you which headsets they support. And some games support both. Some games will support both the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. Some games are Rift only. Some games are Vive only. A lot of games that can be played on the Vive also will work on the Oculus Rift, but if they're made for room scale, for being able to walk around, like, say, Job Simulator or something like that, you're not going to be able to play it in the, like, you could load it in the Oculus Rift, but you couldn't actually do anything in it because you don't have the controllers and you don't have the sensors.
All right. That being said, is it relatively safe to say that, granted, the HTC Vive is a little bit more expensive than the Oculus Rift, you're almost better off getting the HTC Vive if you want to play VR games that are sold through Steam?
Yes, and I mean, and really, the HTC Vive is the complete platform today, whereas the Oculus Rift isn't. Oculus Rift also has their own storefront. So you can't, like, you can use Steam, and you can buy, I have some games on Steam that I can use on the Rift, but it loads, like, the Rift's home store page, which their store doesn't have as many features, and it's very locked down, and things like that. So a lot of, like, Steam games, like, you buy it on Steam, they give you a key to unlock it on Oculus Home. So they give you that. So really, if you want to play games strictly through Steam, right now the Vive is your choice for that, even though it is a little bit more expensive.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for taking my call. It's definitely appreciated.
No problem.
Have a nice show.
Thank you. So that's all the call. That's the only call I'll take tonight. Thank you so much. A couple other things people were saying in chat. Actually, never mind. We are going to take another call. I lied. We're going to take another call. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Sterlock.
Sterlock, what's up, man?
Xbox 360 is dead. Long live Xbox 360.
Well, I mean, the servers are still online.
Well, yeah, but
the manufacturing plant finally red-ringed.
God, so many memories with the 360.
What's yours? What's your favorite one?
let's see. I don't know. There's so many good ones. I think a couple of the big ones. Being able to purchase games online through the web interface.
Yeah.
That was actually the reason I got the console in the first place. Because you couldn't do that with the PS3 at the time that I bought the system. You could later, but... But as far as games go, I would say Lost Odyssey, still my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
On the 360, and actually one of my favorite games of all time. The game is just... it's a masterpiece.
I am waiting for the backwards compatibility ninjas to put that back on.
I doubt it will because it was never released digitally. And I think every game that has been backwards compatible has had a digital release. And I know it makes me very sad.
I mean, I still have the game and I still have an Xbox 360. So I'm not. It's not like I can't play it if I don't want to right now.
Well, I want the one. I'm waiting for that, and I'm waiting for... I don't think this is going to happen either, but I would like... Final Fantasy 13,
yeah,
as well. That's another game I really liked because I could play a lot of it just by myself because, the game was so linear, although, that was kind of a complaint that a lot of other people had.
I liked it.
I did, too.
I had no problem with it.
The other games, not so much, but the first one was good.
I want to be able to play Final Fantasy 12 on my PS4 or PS3. That's what I really want, too.
I was in the camp that hated 12 when it came out because it's not turn-based. But I don't know. Now it's just like, okay, I mean, this isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Like, the game I'm waiting for, though, and sadly it's only going to be on PS4. Actually, I think it's coming to PC. I'm waiting for I Am Setsuna. I don't know if you've...
No, I haven't heard of this one.
About this? Mm-hmm. If you remember last year when at E3, when they very, very briefly mentioned, what was it called? Like, Tokyo Game Studio or something like that. It was that offshoot of Square.
Okay.
that is solely going to focus on old school JRPGs.
Okay.
And I Am Setsuna came out in February in Japan, and it's coming in July here. And it's basically capitalizing on Chrono Trigger nostalgia.
Okay.
So, like, down to, like, the battle system, like, it's even got the, like, the way the ATB system works, where each character's, gauge fills up independently, and then you can, okay. once, you know, so, like...
I'm sold.
Can, yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been watching a playthrough of it, and
perfect.
Where somebody's actually, like... translating it, and it looks cool. like it's going to be pretty good. It's a little bit,
cool.
budget, because it was kind of rushed, but it still looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Cool.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
Yep.
So that is it. Some responses in chat about from Xbox 360. Game Room, a lot of people recommend. I remember I loved Game Room until they stopped supporting it, and then I hated Game Room. There was that 1 vs. 100. That was an amazing, amazing idea, and I wish that they hadn't dropped it, where there was one single game show, and they even had a live host, but everybody on Xbox Live was playing at the exact same time, and it was great, and they should try that again, and unfortunately, I don't think they will, because they don't like money, I guess. I don't know, or they don't like giving away money. I don't know. And other people are talking about Friday Night Gaming, my old show, which I finally got rid of the domain. So it ain't coming back. It's gone. But somebody else said here, you know, if they ever release the date that they're taking down to Xbox Live, which they will, we should have a big VOG game night. I hate that we have to wait until something's going away to have a game night, but I don't have the time to try to organize one. So that's it. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VOGNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They've had they get a lot much longer to talk about games than we do, and they were also around for the entire lifespan of the Xbox 360. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So your memory, and you can't say 1 vs. 100 because I just said it. Your favorite memory of the 360?
My Xbox 360 that I bought and spent a long time trying to find. The shipments in the beginning were really bad. I think a lot of people forgot.
Oh,
and trying to hunt one down and eventually finding one at Best Buy using their online stock report. But I had to get the core system and then buy the hard drive separately because that's what I wanted. And then it red ringed 2 days after I bought it. So that... I don't know if that would be
It was kind of like, you know, when I got the PS3... It was dead on arrival.
Yeah.
It was like, I brought it home, and it didn't work. And I'd gone to a midnight launch, and it didn't work. My PS2 didn't work either. Like, my PS4 is my first launch day Sony console that didn't break on the first day.
Right.
So at least you had 2 days with it. No, the shortages were real. Like, I went, one of the first things I did with this podcast was actually cover a launch event locally at a local Best Buy. And I was there as media next to, like, our rock alternative rock radio station and our major, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the major newspaper. So, like, it was, and then I think Fox 5, our Fox affiliate TV news crew, and it was the four of us. Like, we were the media, and I was like, and they treated me at that Best Buy just like the other three, which was kind of cool that, you know, they considered me important enough to do that. And, but I was not standing in line to get a system. I was like, I'm not going to be able to get one because the shortages... people were standing in line for like 30 hours and stuff, and they actually said, hey, you know, if you want one, we have a core system here, and we can set it aside for you because of what you're doing for us. And so, but I didn't have a hard drive for a couple days because I couldn't, they didn't have any hard drives. So I had to wait for the reshipments of hard drives to be able to do more than the memory card. But yeah, those, I was a core tard.
That's still pretty good considering, you know, that was back when the people didn't really understand what podcasting was.
Yes. Podcasting has just launched because this was like in first 3 months of my podcast.
Yeah.
And like 4 months earlier is when iTunes added podcasts.
Yep, yep. So a lot of people still kind of trying to wrap their heads around it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want all the news to be negative. I would say there was two really big positive things for me out of Xbox 360. One of them would be Final Fantasy XI, actually, mm-hmm. was a big motivator for me getting an Xbox 360. Even though, yes, there was the PlayStation 2 version, the Xbox 360 version looked much more like the PC version. And there was, you know, there wasn't really anything like it. I don't think really ever, really, in the 360's lifespan. So I think that was kind of an important release for me. But I think one place the Xbox 360 just completely changed gaming was probably the Xbox Live Arcade. Mm-hmm. I remember in those first 2 days when I got the 360, I was playing mostly Geometry Wars and I think Ms. Pac-Man and maybe Joust and like all.
I was playing Hexic.
Yeah, it was like all these classic games or little games that I was downloading for $5 a pop on the store, and it was a really big deal when they would release new ones every week. You know, it was still kind of a very new sort of technology.
And they didn't even start doing that for like a year, releasing them every week. Because it was an afterthought. Like, they were like, yeah, this Xbox Live Arcade thing exists, and we've got some, like, little stuff on it, but it's no big deal. And then, like, it blew up, and they're like, oh, God, we have to now put stuff out. And then they were like, now we're going to put stuff out every week.
Yeah, and it kind of changed gaming.
Yeah,
as we know it, really, with they were one of the first to be doing digital distribution in the living room for sure. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge deal. Yeah, I think really the only launch game I had was I don't even remember the name of it.
I had Project Gotham Racing.
It was the Rare Studio. Oh, Cameo.
Yeah, I had Cameo and Project Gotham.
Yeah, yeah.
And Geometry Wars.
But I agree with one of your prior callers. Lost Odyssey was a extremely underrated experience on the 360. And
yes.
I also am eagerly awaiting the backwards compatibility. I found my discs the other day. So.
Yep. So, what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, with PAX. PAX was this weekend.
Yes.
I know. It's like we were there last year and this year. But, you know.
And Nintendo still, again, released a Street Pass puzzle Saturday morning.
I noticed that, and I still haven't finished the last one. I'm kind of irritated about that, but whatever. And actually, because of some things I've been dealing with in my personal life, I'm actually really glad I didn't plan to go to PAX this year, because even if I had bought tickets, I would not have been able to go. So it's kind of interesting how things work out sometimes. But anyhow, as far as gaming this week, you know, we have these stories about the PlayStation 4 possibly getting the upgrade mid-cycle, although not a major upgrade, still an upgrade probably unlike something we've really seen before, except maybe from Nintendo. So we'll talk a little bit about that this week. We're also going to talk about two-factor authentication, finally, on a console that probably needed it 5 years ago. So we'll get into that. We're going to play a little catch-up, too, since we were gone this last week. So plenty more up ahead on OLR.
And we got to figure out what we're going to do next year, because MAGFest announced their dates, and it's like that first weekend in January, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I'm probably doing MAGFest. I think I kind of already made up my mind. Even though the whole winter travel concept kind of freaks me out, it's like one of those, I'll just suck it up and deal with it. Yeah.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. 2 weeks. I will be back in 2 weeks. So on Mother's Day, which, by the way, Mother's Day is 2 weeks from now. It's May 8th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but it's that Sunday. So just so you know, it's Mother's Day that day. I will be back then. I will not be here on the 1st of May. I will be back then. So Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live. Interact with us directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me at mp3bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. And also you can submit comments on the website, vognetwork.com. Go to the episode page, and there will be links there. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Hecht, Sky, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Tiger Claw, Loki, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, Bird, De Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, Raginator, Breakman, they all changed their name to Friday Night Gaming, Jefferson Lee Ng, Kaijudo, Matt Cube, MXT, Point, Shadow Nexion, SJ100 Matt, Toagak, True, VXJ6V, Wyland, William Murderface, and Zeba. So that is it for me. See you guys in 2 weeks. And hopefully then I'll remember it's 2016 and not say 2015 in the intro. That would be awesome. All right. Have a good 2 weeks. Say hi to your mom. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.